Okay, I think we'll
Good
make a
morning,
start.
Rasika.
I think we'll make a start.
I can see Rasika just logged in.
Okay. All right, well, I'll start the lecture. Okay, welcome to CCNA Discovery, Networking for Home and Small Business, Module 1 for 2010. A quick overview of the CompT qualifications are as follows. The CompT A-plus certification is for entry-level IT technicians. The CompT A-plus exam covers preventative maintenance, basic networking, installation, troubleshooting, communication and professionalism. The CompT A networking plus certification is for networking professionals. The CompT network plus exam covers managing, maintaining, troubleshooting, operating and configuring basic network infrastructure. The CompT Security Plus certification for experienced security professionals. The CompT Security Plus exam covers security, network infrastructure, cryptography, assessments and audits. Sharing, collaborating and discovering ways, new ways to work together are at the heart of the human network. We want to connect and participate from our homes, schools and businesses. The computer in many different forms provides us the gateway into the new world. And the word gateway is going to mean a lot to you as you move into the course, because it's how our routers access the internet. In this chapter, we will be introduced to the different types of computers and applications and devices that make them useful. After this chapter, you should be able to identify the purposes and the uses of personal computers, describe local and network applications, compare and contrast different types of computing devices, explain the binary representation of data. That's where your pegboards, once we can get them made for you, will make a lot more sense. Determine appropriate components and peripheral devices to meet requirements. Install, verify and upgrade computer components and peripherals. Personal computers and applications and how and where they are used. Computers play a more increasingly important and nearly indispensable role in everyday life to communicate with a friend, a colleague, via Skype or MSN and so many other different communication programs. And computers are used all over the world and in all types of environments. They're used in anything from business to manufacturing, to homes, to government offices and non-profit organizations. Schools use computers for instruction and for maintaining student records. Hospitals and doctors use computers to maintain records and to provide medical care. In addition to these types of computers, there are also many customized computers designed for specific purposes. These computers can be integrated into devices such as televisions, cash registers, sound systems, and other electronic devices. It's really funny because there's actually a fridge here in Australia that's got a computer touch screen built into the front of it. It's quite funny. They can also be found embedded into appliances such as stoves, refrigerators, and used in automobiles and aircraft. Personal computers consist of the following critical concepts. One, information technology, IT, is a term that encompasses the relationship between hardware, software, networks and technical assistance provided by users. There are no user serviceable parts inside a power supply, so don't open it. Form factor is the physical size and shape of items. Power supplies must be compatible with both the case and the motherboard. The plugs are standard for internal devices, while the motherboard connection on and off switch shape, size and wattage varies. ROM retains instructions when the computer is shut down. By contrast, RAM, or random access memory, requires a constant flow of electricity to operate. Once the computer is shut down, RAM will lose all information. Removable drive is that it gives the user the opportunity to keep the data in a secure location or to carry it with them. Fixed drives are built into the computer. Memory modules that must be interchanged with each other are protected by notches in the connector portion. If the memory module does not fit easily, make sure that is the correct kind for the socket. Make sure that each module is fully inserted into the socket before applying power to the computer. Many misconceptions and errors are computer cases must match the power supply and motherboard. When deciding on a power supply, make sure to choose a power supply that has more than enough power for the current components. While inserting a connector, never force any connector into or a component. Take your time, make sure that you are doing things correctly. If the heat is not taken away, the component of the computer may run slower. If too much heat builds up, many components may fail, which is really important. That's why a lot of the new Pentium 4 systems and upwards have got, in some cases, 4 or 5 case fans inside them that keep them cool. Some older RAM may not be installed as some older RAMs are needed to be installed in matched pairs, which are balanced between two sockets. A pair of sockets is called a bank. Some SCSI connectors resemble parallel connectors, but be careful. Do not connect the cable to the wrong port. The voltage used in SCSI format may damage the parallel interface. SCSI connectors should clearly be labeled. For input and output devices, your purchase needs to match the connector type on your computer, such as USB, parallel, or serial, for an example. How and where computers are used. Computers are used in everything from business applications like accounting, inventory control, and many other sales and manufacturing areas. As we're in homes for communicating, gaming, home finance, and also governments and schools use computer in many various dedicated applications. And then your computers in everything from day-to-day banking to computerized engine monitoring and electronic systems in our motor vehicles. Computers are used in for many reasons and for many different places. They may be found in different sizes and processing power, but all computers have some features in common. In order for some computers to perform useful functions, they have three things that they have to work together. Hardware, the physical components, both internal and external, that make up a computer. Operating system, a set of computer programs that manages the hardware of a computer. An operating system controls the resources on a computer, including memory and disk storage. An example of an operating system is Windows XP, Vista, now Windows 7, the variant of the Linux operating systems, the Mac operating system, and many others. Application software programs loaded on the computer to perform a specific function using the capabilities of the computer. As an example, application software is a word processor or a computer-assisted drafting program, and many more. Then we have local and network applications. The computer is only the use as useful as the program or application on it, and also the data that's entered into it. Applications can be divided into two general categories: business industry software, software designed for a specific industry or market, examples include medical practice management tools, education tools, and legal software. General use software, software used by a wide range of organizations and home users from various purposes. These applications can be used by any business or individual. General use includes integrated application packages known as office suites, like Microsoft Office and Open Office, and there's a few other ones as well. They usually include applications such as a word processor, spreadsheet, database, presentation, email, contacts, and scheduling management. Other popular applications include audio editing software and multimedia authoring applications. These tools allow users to manipulate as well as create rich media presentations that use voice, video, and graphics. In addition to business industry general use software, an application can be classified as either local or a networked application. Local application. A local application is a program, such as a word processor, that is stored on the hard disk of the computer. The application runs on that computer only. Network applications. A network application is one that is designed to run over the network, such as the internet. A network application has two components, one that runs on the local computer and one that runs on the remote. An example of this is email, where you have an email client and an email server. The client, email client receives your email, and the email server stores and sends your email. Most computers have a combination of local and network applications installed, and a few examples of that are local network computers, local word processor, spreadsheet or text editor, network, Skype or email. A couple of examples are: a student chats to a friend on a computer in another room using instant messages. That answer to that is an application, is a general use, and it's a network application. Another example is a family keeps track of household expenses using a spreadsheet program stored on computer hard drive. Application is general, and it's a local application. And there's quite a few other examples that are in the notes. Determine the type of computer needed by a user. Understand how to determine the right computer for your customers. The type of computer should correlate to the customer's needs, including server and applications that will be used, To select the proper computer, consider the following requirements of mandatory components, compatibility issues with older equipment, hardware requirements for specific applications, requirements of peripherals, budget and intended use. Computer cases. What are the features to consider when choosing a computer case? People sometimes fail to understand that different computer types cases allow different expandability. Such as the difference between a full tower server case and a desktop case, just as one example. At the end of this section, you should be able to correctly choose a computer case that will be durable, easy to service, and meet customer needs. A lot of the new computer cases now are toolless designs, which are just hard drives and DVD drives and so forth, held in by spring-loaded clips, and the sides of the cases are just held in with thumb screws. Purpose of a computer case is to support the internal components of the computer, provide an enclosure for added protection from radio frequencies and on. Keep the internal components cool. As I said, most of the new systems now have multiple cooling fans in them. Prevent damage from static electricity. Consideration when choosing a case, the size of the motherboard, whether it's a full size ATX, which it's a new type of power supply and case, the number of external and internal drive bays, environmental conditions, form factor, size and layout of the case. The Advanced Technology or ATX printer case is a standard form factor for modern computers, and they come in variants like Micro ATX, which is the smallest motherboard size in ATX, and standard and so on. ATX computer cases have several types of power supplies, motherboards, and expansion cards. Power supplies use DC current, not AC current, because the motherboards have 3, 5, and 12 volt needs. For an example, a hard drive uses a 12 volt cable, and so does your DVD burner. The connectors inside on the motherboard and power supply are a Molex connector, which connects to your hard drive or optical drive, a Berg connector, which connects to a floppy drive, not that many people use floppy drives anymore. 4-pin or 8-pin auxiliary power connector supplies to all areas of the motherboard. 20 or 24-pin slotted connector to use on the motherboard, which is good because now the new ATX power supplies, you can't get it wrong. You can only put that power supply connector in one way. The older AT power supplies had two cables on them. It was called P8 and P9, which was the oldest standard power supply used to connect to the motherboard. Each part of the connector has a colored wire with a different voltage running through it. And these connectors had, you had to make sure that the earth wires or the black wires were facing one another in the middle, otherwise you could damage the motherboard. Ports and cables. Ports and cables allow you to connect the connection of input and output devices. Make sure that the student knows how which port cable looks like. Like for an example, everyone knows that a USB cable has a small flat rectangular end on it, and if it's connected to a printer as an example, or modem, It has a USB B end on the other one, which is shaped like a small square with the corners cut off it. Serial ports and cables. Serial ports can either be a DB9 or DB25, either a 9 or 25 pin cable. And they transmit one bit of data at a time. A serial cable has a maximum length of 50 feet or 15.2 meters. USB cables are standard interface for connecting peripheral devices to a computer. USB devices are hot swappable. So in other words, you can plug one USB device out and plug another one in. You can have up to, I think it's 127 devices on a USB, one USB port with hubs, but that doesn't ever work efficiently. There's our USB version 3 is coming out sometime this year in new computers. FireWire ports and cables. A high-speed hot swappable interface that connects peripheral devices to a computer, which use a 6-pin connector or a 4-pin connector with the IEEE 1394 standard. And the parallel ports and cables transmit 8 bits of data at a time using the IEEE 1284 standard. A parallel cable is a maximum length of 15 feet or 4.5 meters. SCSI ports and cables transmit data at rates of excess of 320 megabytes per second, support up to 15 devices, and use either a DB25 female, high density 50 pin female, high density 68 pin female connectors. But SCSI drives have to be terminated at each end of the cable. Network ports and cables, known as an RJ45 port, connector on a computer to a network. Maximum length cable is 328 feet or 100 meters. PS2 ports connect to a computer keyboard or mouse and are usually color-coded. Not that that means much to us, but anyway, that's what they're supposed to be. Audio ports connect audio devices to a computer. Common audio ports are line-in microphone, line-out game MIDI port, and video ports and connectors connect to a monitor, cable, or computer. Video graphics array or VGA provide analog output to a monitor. DVI or digital video in visual interface provide a compressed digital output to a monitor. HDMI or high definition media interface provide digital video and digital audio signal. S video provide analog video signals, and component RGB provide analog video signals. Input devices send information to be processed by the computer. They range from very basic keyboard and mouse to specialized touchscreen and biometric devices such as your fingerprint sensors and so forth, for on which many of the new laptops have and on some desktop computers, so you can swipe your finger over it when logging in or accessing certain programs. Have a look at your computer and find an input device such as a modem, NIC, scanner, mouse, or graphics tablet. Some devices can be both input and output devices, like a network card, which can send or receive information. A mouse navigates the graphical user interface, whereas we as vision impaired people use the keyboard to navigate the screen. Keyboard enters text that controls the computer, which is another input device. Digital camera or digital video camera, which creates images that can be stored on magnetic media. The image is stored as a file. lot of the cameras have flash drives in them, or some of them actually have little hard drives in them. The biometric identification, as I said, identifies fingerprints, voice recognition, or retinal scan in some cases. When combined with usernames and authorized passwords for access to data or the computer itself. Touch screen, a pressure sensitive transparent panel like the new Apple iPad or the iPhone, and some of the new, I think, HP laptops have got touch screen. Scanner digitizes an image for, or a document. The digitization of the image is stored as a file. Output devices deliver processing results through a hard copy, such as a printer, screen layout, monitor, and audio speakers. Although you might be familiar with output devices, you may not know that the details of each device. Primary output devices of a computer, such as a CRT or the old style glass screen computer monitors, the new LCD monitors, which is a liquid crystal display, consists of two polarizing filters with a liquid crystal solution between them. Printers and scanners and fax machines. Printers create a hard copy of computer files. You have it also the all-in-one printer, fax, and copy systems. Speakers and headphones. Devices for audio signals. Audio support includes ports that allow you to either input or output the audio signal. The audio card as an amplifier to power headphones and an external speakers. System resources. In the context of a computer configuration, the word system resources refers to the mechanism used to interface, communicate, and control individual device adapters, along with the serial, parallel, and mouse ports. Hardware devices are configured with unique resources settings in order to communicate with the CPU. Hardware devices cannot operate without proper resource assignments. Like on an older system, when I first started putting computers together, you actually had to physically, there was little jumper pins on the boards. You had to ex select the what was called an interrupt request or an IRQ for each card, which was quite painful. But you don't have to do that anymore. Interrupt request or IRQ is to request information from the CPU. The priority of the request is determined by the IRQ number assigned that the computer component for that computer component. Each component in the computer must be assigned a unique IRQ. Today, most IRQ are assigned automatically with the plug and play or PNP operating systems. And an input output IO addresses used to communicate between devices and software. Send and receive data for a component. IO addresses are referred to as in hexadecimal address. A DMA or direct memory access to communicate directly with main memory, mainly used for printers and so on. Allow the device to bypass the interaction with the CPU and directly store and retrieve information from memory. types of computers and their classes they come under. There's many types of computers available, including mainframes, servers, desktop computers, workstations, laptops, handheld portable devices such as netbooks, Palm Pilots, and so on. Each type of computer has been designed with a particular purpose in mind, such as portable access to information, processing, and detailed graphics, and so on. Most common types of computers used in homes and businesses and servers, workstations, desktop, laptops, and portable devices. Mainframes, on the other hand, are large centralized computers found in sizable enterprises and purchased through specialized resellers. Servers are highly performance computers used in business and other organizations. Servers provide services to many end user and clients. Server hardware is optimized for quick response time to multiple network requests. Servers have multiple central processing unit CPUs or large amounts of RAM, random access memory, and multiple high capacity disk drives to provide fast information retrieval. The services provided by a server are often important and may be needed to be available to users at all times. Servers therefore often contain duplicate or redundant parts to prevent them from failing, such as they have a if a system is called RAID or redundant array of inexpensive disks, where you have multiple hard drives connected to a controller card, and one drive's there for redundancy in case one drive fails. Automatic and manual backup of data is also usually done on a regular basis. Servers are usually kept in secure areas where access is controlled and that it's all air conditioned and locked away for security purposes. The design may be one of several types. They can be standalone, tower design, rack mounted, or have a blade design. Since a server is typically used as a storage point and not for day-to-day end user device, it may not have a monitor or keyboard, or it may share a monitor and keyboard with other devices. Common services found on a server include file storage, email storage, web pages, print sharing, and others. Servers, desktops, and workstations. The descriptions of the following servers are as follows. The blade server is a blade server provides maximum concentration of computing power and scalability. A rack mount server is ideal for saving floor space when equipment rack is available. A standalone server is appropriate for small business and provides flexibility in choosing internal components. Desktops support many options and capabilities, a wide variety of computer cases, power supplies, hard drives, video cards, monitors, and other components are available. Desktops can be have many different connection types, video options, and a wide array of supported peripherals. Desktops are commonly used to run applications such as word processor, spreadsheets, networked applications such as email, web browsing, and internet chat programs, and so on. There is another type of a computer that's similar to a desktop, but it's much more powerful. It's the workstation. Workstations are a high-powered business computer. They're designed for specialized high-end applications such as engineering programs such as a CAD or computer-assisted drafting. Workstations are used in 3D graphic designs, video animation, and virtual reality situations, simulation, sorry. They may also be used as management stations for telecommunications, medical equipment, as with servers, workstations typically have multiple CPUs, large amounts of RAM with high capacity disk drives that are very fast. Workstations usually have very powerful graphics capabilities and a large monitor or multiple monitors. Servers, desktops, and workstations are all designed as stationary devices. They are not portable like laptops. Portable devices. In addition to various types of stationary computers, there are many portable electronic devices available, such as a laptop or notebook, tablet PC, pocket PC, PDA or personal digital assistant, gaming device, and now with the modern cell phones. Laptops, also called notebooks, are comparable with desktops in usage and processing capabilities. However, they are portable devices built to be lightweight and easy and use less power with a built-in mouse, monitor, and keyboard. Laptops can also be plugged into a docking station, which allows the user to utilize a larger monitor, mouse, full-size keyboard, and have many more connection options such as USB hubs and so on. Despite this, laptops have limited number of configurations available, such as the video options and connection types. Plus, they're expensive to have upgraded if you need them. They also not easily upgraded as a desktop. And portable devices such as laptop PC, laptop computers often provide portable computing power for the mobile workforce. In working in an office environment, the laptop can be connected to a docking station to provide access to a large monitor, which I've just said. Other portable devices such as PDAs and pocket PCs have less powerful CPUs and RAM. They have smaller screens and limited capabilities and small input keyboards. The key advantage of portable computers is that the information and services are available immediately, almost anywhere. For example, mobile phones have built-in address books for contact names and telephone numbers. PDAs are available in with built-in telephone, web browser, email, and other software. The functions of these individual devices can be combined into one multifunction device. Multifunction device can combine a PDA, a cell phone, digital camera, music player. It can provide internet access, wireless networking capabilities, but with limited processing power to the PDA. Portable devices such as a tablet PC. A tablet PC is typically a wireless device with a special stylus pen that is used to write on the LCD screen. The notes and or handwritten text can be digitized using built-in handwriting recognition software. Tablet PCs can have comparable power and functionality to desktops and laptops. Some tablet PCs have a convertible screen that functions like a laptop or can be rotated and folded down over the integrated keyboard. A tablet PC runs a special operating system called Microsoft Windows XP Tablet Edition. Pocket PC is a scaled down version of a laptop with less powerful CPU, RAM, and no hard drive. Most pocket PCs have a small QWERTY keep style keyboard and a color display screen with fairly good resolution. They use memory cards to store documents and photographs. They run a special OS such as Microsoft Mobile. They are typically about the size of a candy bar and weigh less than 7 ounces. The following features may be included, such as mini applications such as PowerPoint Viewer, Mobile Excel, cellular phone, email, wireless networking, persistent storage, memory card storage, touch screen, megapixel camera, camcorder, voice recorder, and high-speed internet capabilities. PDA, or personal digital assistant, also known as a palm top. These are generic terms that are often applied to a small portable device that provides storage for personal information such as calendars and contacts. They use primarily touchscreen technology, although some also have a small keyboard. The distinction between these devices and the Pocket PC is blurred. The PDA is increasingly being combined with cell phone and PC-like functionality. A PDA can run an open source OS such as Linux, proprietary OS such as Microsoft Windows CE, Palm OS, or the BlackBerry operating system. Well, there's a gaming device. A portable gaming device is a small computer that is dedicated to playing games and has a good quality display and increasingly more powerful. Some have wireless capabilities to allow multi-person gaming. Examples of gaming devices such as the Sony PlayStation, PSP, Nintendo Dual Screen or DS. Gaming devices run a proprietary operating system. Games are written specifically for that operating system and device. And cellular phone. Cellular phones are used everywhere and are replacing regular landline phones in some areas. They are becoming increasingly powerful, but most do not have a keyboard or and lack a large enough screen to display quality graphics. Newer cell phones have many features, and more advanced PDA or pocket PC include calendars, contact information, memory card storage, digital camera, camcorder, MP3, games, wireless networking capabilities, email, and internet access. Binary representation of data. Representing information digitally with a computer, information is represented and stored in a digital binary format. The term bit is an abbreviation of a binary digit and represents the smallest piece of data. Humans interpret words and pictures. Computers interpret only patterns of bits. A bit can only have two possible values, a one digit or a zero digit. A bit can be used to represent the state of something that has two states. For example, a light switch can be either on or off. In binary representation, these states would correspond to a 1 for an on or a 0 for off, respectively. Computers use binary codes to represent and interpret letters, numbers, and special characters with bits. Commonly used code in the American Standard Code for Information Interchange, ASCII. Each character is represented by a string of bits. For example, capital A is represented as a 01, 00, 00, 01, and so on. Each group of 8 bits, such as the representation of letters and numbers, is known as a byte. Codes can be used to represent almost any type of information digitally: computer data, graphics, photos, voice, music, and video. Representing information digitally. Measuring data storage capacity. While a byte is the smallest representation of data, the most basic unit of digital storage is a byte. A byte is 8 bits and is the smallest unit of measure used to represent data storage capacity. When referring to storage space, we use the term byte, kilobyte, megabyte, gigabyte, or terabyte, which is kilobytes is capital K, capital B, megabytes is capital M, capital B, gigabytes is capital G, capital B, and terabytes is capital T, capital B. 1 kilobyte is a little more than 1,000 bytes, specifically 1,024. A megabyte represents more than 1,000, more than 1 million bits, or 1,048,576. A gigabyte is 1,773,741,824 bytes, and so on. The exact number is gained by 2 to the power of the number. For an example, a kilobyte equals 2 to the power of 10, a megabyte equals 2 to the power of 20, and a gigabyte equals 2 to the power of 30. In general, when something is represented digitally, the greater the number, the detail, the greater number of bits needed to represent it. A low-resolution picture from a digital camera, see at 360 kilobytes, and a high-resolution picture could be 2 megabytes or more. Kilobytes, megabytes, gigabytes, and terabytes are typically used to measure the size and storage of capacity of a device. Examples of components and devices that use byte storage include random access memory or RAM, hard disk drives, CDs, DVDs, and MP3 players. Measuring speed, resolution, and frequency. One of the advantages of digital information that it can be transmitted over long distances without quality becoming degraded. A modem is used to convert the binary information into a suitable, which is suitable for transmitting through the medium. commonly used media are cables, which use pulses of electricity through copper wires, fiber optics, which use pulses of light over fibers made of glass or plastic, wireless, which uses pulses of low power radio waves. There are two measures of the size of a file, bits and bytes. Communication engineers think in terms of transferring bits, whereas a computer user thinks in terms of file sizes, which are usually measured in bytes, such as kilobytes, megabytes, terabytes, etc. There are 8 bits in 1 byte. The data rate determines how long it will take to transfer a file. The larger the file, the longer it takes, because there is more information to transfer. Data transfer rates are measured in thousands of bits per second, kbps, or millions of bits per second, capital MBPS. Notice that there is a kbps abbreviation. A lower K is used instead of the upper K. This is used when talking about the transfer of data. Most engineers round the number down so that a kbps actually refers to a transfer of 1,000 bits information in 1 second, whereas kbps would refer to the transfer of 1,024 bits of information. Notice the capital K. A DSL or cable modem can operate in ranges of, it used to be 256, but most of them are 512, up to 2 megabytes per bits per second, or higher depending on the technology used. Calculating download time. Calculate download times are theoretical and depend on cable connection, computer processing speed and overheads, such as line noise and how you are, far you are away from exchange or the wireless antenna and so forth. To get an estimate of the length of time it takes to download a file, divide the file size by the data rate. For example, how long will it take to transfer a low-frequency digital photo at 256 kilobyte size of the file through a 512 kbps cable modem connection? The first step is to convert the file size into bits. So it's, because there's 8 bits in a byte, that's 8 times 256 times 1024, which gives you 209,715.2 bits. So 256 kilobyte responds to 2,097 kilobytes. Notice that the 209,715.2 is rounded down to the nearest 1,000, so lowercase k is used. The download time is then 2,097 kb divided by 512 kilobits per second, which equates to approximately 4 seconds. Measuring speed, resolution and frequency. Download times, such as the amount of time it takes to download a song, will vary based on the size of the file. High-speed internet access ranges from 512 to 6 Mbps with DSL or cable. In addition to storage capacity, data transfer speed, there are other units of measure and working with computers. Computer screen resolution. Graphics resolution is measured in pixels. A pixel is a distinct point of light displayed on a monitor. The quality of a computer screen is defined by the number of horizontal and vertical pixels that can be displayed. For an example, a widescreen monitor may be able to display 1280 by 1024 pixels with millions of colors. As for image resolution in digital cameras, it is measured by the number of megapixels that can be captured by a photograph. Analog frequencies, hertz, is a measurement of how fast something cycles or refreshes. 1 hertz represents 1 cycle per second. In computers, the speed of the computer processor is measured by how fast it can cycle in order to execute instructions measured in hertz. For example, a processor that runs at 300 megahertz executes 300 million cycles per second. Wireless transmissions, radio frequencies are also measured in hertz, such as a standard wireless access point transmits at 2.4 gigahertz. Computer components and peripherals. There are many types of computers that what make up one computer better suited to play a new game or play a new audio file over another? The answer is the components and peripherals that make up the computer system. The requirements of a machine dedicated mainly to word processing are very different than one that is designed for graphic applications or gaming. It is important to determine the intended uses for a computer before deciding on the type of computer or components to be purchased. Many manufacturers mass process computers and sell them either through a direct marketing or retail chains, like I have done myself. I've worked for a company where we sold HP, IBM, Compaq, and many others. These computer systems are designed to function well for a variety of tasks. There are also a number of vendors that can be custom assemble computers to the end user's specifications. That way, you sit down with your customer, you go through what they're going to use that computer for, you then will design a computer specifically for their purposes, but you always get them to project ahead further for where they may need more memory or larger hard drives and so forth, or faster video cards and so on. The advantages and disadvantages of both. Pre-assembled computers has advantages of lower cost, adequate to perform most applications, no waiting period for assembly, typically used by less knowledgeable customers who do not require special needs. They also have disadvantage of often lack the performance level that can be attained by a custom-built computer. Custom-built computers have advantages of that fact that the end user can specify exact components that meet their needs, generally support higher performance applications such as graphics, gaming, server applications, but have disadvantage of it generally are more costly than a pre-assembled device, longer waiting periods for assembly. It used to take me a day to order the parts, a day to put the system together, so it's usually 3 days it used to take me before I'd have a system ready for a customer. It is also possible to purchase the individual parts and components of a computer yourself and build it yourself if it's that's possible. Regardless of the design, to buy a pre-assembled or custom-built system, the final product must match the requirements of the end user. Some of the items to consider when purchasing a computer include the motherboard, such as the size of the motherboard, whether it's a micro ATX or a standard ATX, and so on, depending on the size of the computer case, the processor or processors, the type of RAM and the capacity, storage, like the amount of hard drives, burners, DVD burners, and so on, adapter cards, as well as the case and power options. Motherboard, CPU and RAM. A motherboard is a large circuit board used to connect the electronics and circuitry required to which comprise the computer system. Motherboard connectors which allow major system components such as the CPU and RAM to attach the board. The motherboard moves data between the various connections and the system components. A motherboard can also contain connector slots for network, video, and sound cards. However, many motherboards now come equipped with these features integrated onto them. The difference between the two is how they are upgraded. When using connectors on the motherboard, system components are easily unplugged and changed or upgraded as technology advances. I always used to prefer to buy a motherboard where you had to buy specific video cards and so on, but it is cheaper to buy the ones with the integrated. When upgrading or replacing an onboard feature, it cannot be removed from the motherboard, therefore it is often necessary to go into the CMOS or BIOS and disable the onboard, whether it's sound or video and so on. When selecting a motherboard, it must support the selected CPU and speed, support the amount of type of system RAM required by the applications, have sufficient slots on of the correct type to accept all required interface cards, have sufficient interfaces of the correct type. So some motherboards have only got two SATA connections on them for the new SATA hard drives. Some have got up to six on them. CPU or central processing unit. The CPU or processor is the nerve center of the computer system. It is the component that processes all of the data within the machine. The type of CPU should be the first decision made when building or updating a computer system. Important factors when selecting a CPU are the processor speed and bus speed. Processor speed. The processor speed measures how fast a CPU cycles information. It is generally measured in megahertz or gigahertz. It's always gigahertz now. The higher the speed, the faster the performance. Faster processors consume more power and create more heat and their slower counterparts. That's why the new cases have got multiple case fans in them to keep them cool. And in some cases, they've actually got a water cooling system that runs over the CPU fan itself and the heat sink. Bus speed. CPU transferred data between various types of memory on the system board during its operation. The pathway for this movement of data is called a bus. In general, the faster the bus, the faster the computer will be. When selecting a CPU, keep in mind the applications continue to evolve. Purchasing a CPU of moderate speed may satisfy current requirements. Future applications, however, may be more complicated and require, for example, faster, high resolution graphics. If the CPU is not sufficiently fast, the overall performance measured in terms of the response time will also suffer. The CPU is mounted through a socket on the motherboard and is normally the largest component on the board. The motherboard must be equipped with a compatible socket to accept the selected CPU, and unlike older motherboards where the CPU was actually soldered onto the motherboard and couldn't be replaced, the new CPUs are set into a socket called a ZIF socket, or zero insertion force, which a lever which is if pressed down and it's lifted up, and you have to have the CPU orientated in the right way, because pin one has to match pin one on the socket, and the CPU will just drop into that socket and then the lever is locked back in place. And the motherboard, CPU and RAM. RAM is a type of data storage used in computers. It is used to store programs and data while being processed by the CPU. Stored data is accessed in any order or at random as needed. All computer programs run from RAM, or random access memory. Besides the CPU, the amount of RAM is the most important factor in the computer performance. Every operating system requires a minimal amount of RAM in order for the operating system to function. Most computers are capable of running multiple applications simultaneously or multitasking. For example, Windows XP Professional, and depending on the motherboard, will allow you to have a maximum of 3 gigabyte of RAM. It won't look at anything over 3 gigabyte of RAM, depending, regardless of how much you've got on the motherboard. For example, many users run email programs, instant message clients, as well as an antivirus tool or firewall software. All of these applications require memory. So the more things you've got open at one time, the more memory you'll need. The more applications that need to run simultaneously, the more RAM is required. More RAM is also recommended for computer systems with multiple processors. Additionally, as the speed of the CPU and bus increase, so must the speed of the memory it accesses. The amount of and type of RAM can be installed on a system is dictated by the motherboard itself and the operating system. Adapter cards add functionality to a computer. They are designed to be plugged into a connector or slot on the motherboard to become part of the operating system. Many motherboards are designed to incorporate the functionality of these adapter cards on the motherboard itself, thus removing the necessity to purchase and install separate cards, even though I do still prefer to use separate cards myself. While this does provide basic functionality, the addition and dedication of adapter cards can often provide an enhanced level of performance. Some of the more common adapter cards include video cards. Now, in some cases, you can have multiple video cards in the one system for high-powered graphics. Sound cards. Network interface cards, such as like for Ethernet, RJ45 cable connections or a wireless internet card. Modems, interface cards, and controller cards. A video card accepts information from the computer and translates into a form that can be displayed on a monitor screen. A video card often contains large amounts of RAM and dedicated processor chips for manipulating video content. A video card is selected based on speed, resolution, and price. Graphic artists and gamers often require fast speed and higher graphic resolutions. And most of the new graphics cards have actually got cooling fans on them as well to keep the heat down. Video cards must match the capabilities of all the connected monitors. The sound card accepts digital information from the system and converts it into signals that are transmitted to speakers and that output an audio signal. A high-end sound card can produce audio output that rivals most of the best stereo equipment available. Network interface cards are a NIC or network interface card enables a computer to exchange information with other systems in a local network. The speed of the network and type of technology help it determine what NIC is required, such as a wireless or Ethernet connection. The most common networking technology is Ethernet. Modems. A modem enables a computer system to participate in remote networks, such as the internet. Traditional modems allowed the computer to connect to a public telephone network. Currently, modems are also used to connect DSL and cable networks. It didn't seem that long ago that we're all using modems to connect to the net, which is so slow. Controller cards. While most motherboards have a number of interfaces allowing connection of devices such as printers, mice, external modems, additional interfaces can be added in the form of an expansion card. There is also a number of adapter cards that act as controllers for specialized hardware devices such as an external hard drive, etc. And as I mentioned earlier, in a server, you'll have what's called a RAID controller card, which there's multiple hard drives plugged into it, which is RAID is redundant array of inexpensive disks. So you have one for fault tolerance. Storage devices. When the power is removed from the computer, any data stored in RAM is lost because it's random access memory. Programs and user data must be stored in a form that will not disappear when the power is removed. This is known as non-volatile storage. Many types of non-volatile storage are available for computer systems, including magnetic storage devices, optical storage devices, static memory such as flash drives and flash memory. With many of the modern computers and laptops, most of them have got memory card readers built into them now. Magnetic storage. Magnetic storage devices are the most common form found in computers. These devices store information in the form of magnetic fields such as a hard drive, floppy drives and tape drives. A hard drive is the main storage medium found in most all computers, including servers, desktops, laptops, and these new netbooks and notebooks. And a lot of them now have got solid state disks in them instead of a standard hard drive with moving components, whereas a solid state disk is like a sort of similar to flash memory, I suppose you'd call it. A hard drive is typically an internal component attached to the motherboard, but may be removable. Because you can actually get a bay that slides in and out that you can take hard drives in and out, which many companies do, and they lock their hard drives away at night. An external hard drive can be connected to the computer using a USB interface or hard disk controller card. As the storage capacity of the hard disk increases, so does the price. But hard disk drives have come down a hell of a lot in price now. It's very cheap. You can get a terabyte hard drive for just over $100 Australian now. Floppy disk drives. Floppy disk drives are a removable storage media that can store up to 1.44 megabytes of data. While some floppy disks are still encountered, they are being replaced by removable static devices such as USB flash drives, which have a higher storage capacity at lower prices. Tape drive is a storage device to back up information for archival or disaster recovery purposes. Magnetic tapes are removable external storage media that can be stored many gigabytes of data. A tape drive is typically encountered only in server environments. And optical storage devices use laser beams to record information, creating differences in optical density. These devices are called CDs, DVDs, and come in three different formats. Read-only in CD or DVD, write-once in CDR or DVD-R, but you can create what's called a multi-session disk, which can be written information as onto it later. Or there's write-many, which is CDRW or DVD-RW, which the rewritable disk can be formatted and written on again. The price of these devices continues to fall, and most computers now incorporate a DVD rewriter drive that can store approximately 4.7 to 8.5 gigabyte on a single disk, depending on whether it's a single or dual layer disk. Another form of DVD drive is a new a system called a Blu-ray, which is also available. It uses a different type of laser to read and write the data. The color of the laser used to store the information is blue-violet. For this reason, discs are called Blu-ray. To distinguish them from conventional DVDs, which use a red laser, Blu-ray discs have a storage capacity of 25 gigabyte or more. That's incredible. Static memory and memory sticks. Static memory devices use memory chips to store information. The information is retained even after power is turned off. They connect to a USB on the computer and offer capacities of 128 megabytes or more. Due to their size and shape, these devices are known as USB memory keys or flash drives or thumb drives, and have widely replaced floppy disks for their transportation of files between systems. Many portable handheld devices rely entirely on static memory for usage and storage. When purchasing storage for a computer system, it is generally good practice to have a mix of magnetic storage, optical drives, as well as static memory available. When determining storage requirements, be sure to allow for growth of adding an additional 20% of storage above estimated needs. Peripheral devices. A peripheral device is a device that is added to the computer to expand its capabilities. These devices are optional in nature and are not required for the basic functionality of the computer. Instead, they are used to increase the usefulness of the machine. Peripheral devices are connected externally to the computer using a specialized cable or wireless connection. Now, even a lot of the printers and things are now wireless. It's just moving forward really quickly. Peripheral devices can fit into one of four categories: input, output, storage, or networking devices. Examples of common peripherals include trackball, joystick, scanner, digital camera, digitizer, barcode reader, microphone. Output devices such as a printer, plotter, speakers, and headphones. Storage devices such as a secondary hard drive with connected to your USB or FireWire port, or in some cases a SATA external connector. External DVD or CD device, DVD devices, flash drives, networking of the Ethernet modems or Ethernet network interface cards. And under peripheral devices like a disk drive that is an external to a computer is not required for the computer to function, so it's considered a peripheral device. Types of disk drives include floppy disks, hard drives, compact disks, and DVDs or digital video disks. A disk drive can be used to increase the available storage capacity of a computer and also to move large amounts of data between different computers. A scanner is used to convert printed images, pages, handwriting, diagrams, and pictures into digital format for storage on a computer. Scanners are considered a peripheral device. The mouse is used to select items on displayed on a monitor. The selection process can be carried out using the keyboard, so the mouse is not required, such as when we use JAWS as an example, or Window Eyes, or whatever our screen reader of choice is. A flash drive is a storage device that connects to the USB interface and allows files to be saved and moved between computers, but don't forget to run your safely remove software before you do it, otherwise your software can become corrupt on your flash drive. A network interface card is used to allow communications between computers. Since an NIC is not required for individual computers to function, that's considered a peripheral as well. A printer converts digital information stored in a computer into a printed page. Many different types of printers exist and have either black or color output. Printers are considered a peripheral device as well. An external modem is used to allow communication between computers. Since the modem is not required for individual computers to function, that is a peripheral device. Cases and power supplies. Case and power supply. Once all internal components and connections are determined, the case is the next consideration. Some cases are designed to sit on top of the desk of the user's desk and others sit below. Computers designed to sit on the desk provide easy access to interfaces, drives, but occupy valuable desk space. A tower or mini tower can either be used on the desk or sit beneath the table. Whatever the case style, select one that has enough space for all your components. So if you only buy, say, a mini tower case and you want to put multiple drives in it, it may not have the room to put them into it. So you may want to choose a mid tower or full tower case in that case. The case and power supply are usually sold together as a unit, but you can actually buy them as separate units. The power supply must be sufficient to power the system and any devices that are added it to in the future. So in other words, it must have all enough power connectors if for the amount of hard drives or disk drives you're putting in it, whether it's a DVD or a hard drive. Computer systems require a steady supply of continuous power. The power from the electricity supply companies is subject to voltage reductions and cuts. A poor supply can affect the performance of a computer hardware and possibly damage it. These power issues can also corrupt software and data. In order to protect the computer system from these power problems, devices such as surge suppressors, uninterruptible power supplies, or UPS have been developed. A surge suppressor is designed to remove voltage spikes and surges from the power line to prevent them from damaging the computer system. They are relatively inexpensive and easy to install. Generally, the surge suppressor is plugged into the power outlet and the computer system is plugged into that surge suppressor. Many surge suppressors also have connectors for phone lines and protect modems from damage due to voltage surges and may be carried through the telephone lines. An uninterruptible power supply or UPS is a device that continually monitors the power to a computer system and maintains the charge on an internal battery. If the power is interrupted, the UPS provides backup power to that system without interruption. The backup power comes from a battery inside the UPS and can only power the computer system for a short period of time, giving you time to shut the system down properly. UPSs are designed to provide the end user with sufficient time to properly shut down a computer system should the main power fail. A UPS can also provide an even flow of power to the computer to prevent damage caused by voltage surges. UPS suitable for home and small business use are relatively inexpensive and often incorporate surge suppressors and other functionality to stabilize the power supplied by the utility company. It is highly recommended that all computers be protected by a UPS regardless of their functionality or location. Computer system components, safety and best practices. Computers are a collection of very complex components and peripherals, all working together to accomplish a task. Occasionally, one of these components fails or needs to be upgraded to improve the functionality of the system. This may require opening the computer and working inside the computer case. When working inside a computer case, it is important to keep precautions in mind to prevent damage to the system components as well as harm to the technician. Before the case is opened, make sure that the computer is switched off and the cable is unplugged. Computer system and monitors can be very heavy and should be lifted with caution. Before opening computer system, be sure to have proper work area. The work area should be clean on a flat surface and strong enough to support the weight of the heavy equipment. It should be well organized, free of clutter and distractions, adequate in light and space. Additionally, when opening a computer case, be aware that sharp edges that should be avoided, especially in some of the cheaper cases, can be very sharp edges. Power supplies and monitors operate at dangerously high voltages and should be only opened by individuals with specialized training. Some computer systems are specially designed to enable components to be hot swapped, meaning that it is not necessary to turn the computer off before adding or removing components such as USB devices and so on. This feature allows the system to remain operating during repairs or upgrades and is usually found in high performance servers. Unless you are sure that the system is hot swappable, turn it off before the case or removing components. Inserting or removing components with the power on in a system that is not hot swappable and cause permanent or serious damage to the system and technician. Internal system components are especially sensitive to static electricity. ESD, or electrostatic discharge, is a static electricity that can be transferred from your body to the electronic components in the computer. That's why it's really important that you have a static strap attached to your wrist, which is clipped onto the computer case. The static electricity doesn't have to be felt in order to occur. ESD can cause catastrophic failures in components, making them non-functional. ESD can also cause intermittent faults, which can be very difficult to isolate. For this reason, proper grounding is essential. A special wrist strap is used to connect to the technician to the computer case. Grounding ensures that they both reach the same voltage potential and ESD is prevented. An anti-static wrist strap that acts as a grounding device when acting to a grounding post or desk. Grounding yourself before entering the internals of a computer unit helps you ensure that ESD does not damage vital components inside the machine. Electrostatic discharge, or ESD, occurs when two objects at different potentials are connected together through a conductor. This allows electrons to flow between the two objects in an attempt to balance out the charge. This is very similar to connecting two containers of water together in a pipe. The level of the water in the two containers will eventually become the same. Unfortunately, the components that make up the computer are very sensitive to this flow of electrons, and great care must be taken to prevent this from occurring. Excess force should never be used when installing components, like the power connector on the for hard drives in particular. They've got a chamfered edge on the top, and that generally only goes in one way, but I have heard of people forcing them in the right, up way, wrong way up, damaging the hard drive. Excess force can damage both the motherboard and the component being installed, and can prevent the system from functioning properly. Damage is not always visible. Force can also damage connectors, which in turn can damage the system components. Use an anti-static mat if possible, and grounding wrist strap. Using anti-static bags, which are like a special type of plastic bag which is anti-static, which you put your components into for storage. And do not put more than one component in these anti-static bags, because it can actually damage them if they rub together and knock any of the components off them. Do not remove or install components while the computer is powered on. Ground often by touching a piece of bare metal on the chassis or power supply. This will prevent static charges from being built up. Work on bare floor, because carpets can build up static, especially if it's a nylon carpet. Hold cards by the edges. Don't hold them by the chips on the actual cards. Touching the chips and can avoid, can cause damage. Do not touch the chips or on the expansion cards with a magnetized screwdriver. Turn off the computer before moving it. This is to protect the hard drive, which is spinning when the computer is turned on. Especially with a lot of the newer hard drives can spin up to 10,200 RPMs. Keep insulation maintenance CDs and discs away from magnetic fields, from heat or cold as well. Do not place a circuit board on any kind of conductive surface, especially metal foil. The lithium and nickel cadmium batteries used on the boards may short out. Do not use a pencil or metal tip instrument to change dip switches or to touch components. I always used to use a, I still do a, like a wooden sort of satay skewer. But most of the time you don't have to change these little switches on anything. On the modern motherboards, they're all basically plug and play now. The graphite in the pencil is conductive and could easily cause damage. Do not allow anyone who is not properly grounded to touch or hand off computer components. This is true even when working with a lab partner. When passing components, always touch hands first to neutralize any charges. And when installing components and verifying operation, the following procedure, excuse me. The following procedures must apply to most computer components. Determine if the computer component is hot swappable. If not, or if in doubt, unplug the system unit before opening the case. Attach a grounding strap before your body, from your body to the system framework or chassis to prevent damage, which may be caused from ESD or electrostatic discharge. If replacing a component, remove the old component. Components are often held into the system with small screws or clips. When removing screws, do not let them drop onto the system motherboard. Also, be careful not to break any plastic clips. Check the connection type of the new component. Each card is designed to work only with a certain type of connector and should not be forced when inserting or removing the card. Place the new component in the correct connection slot with the correct orientation, carefully following the installation instructions that may have accompanied the component. Follow safety precautions throughout the process. Once the component has been added or upgraded, close the case and connect the power supply and other cables. Switch on the system, watch for any messages that may appear on the screen, which is a bit hard for us, but if we've got someone sitting with us, it can be quite helpful. If the system fails to start, disconnect all cables and verify that the component was properly installed. If the system still will not start with all the new components installed, remove it and try to restart the system. If the system starts without the new component, the component may not be compatible with the current hardware and software, and additional research may be needed to fix that problem. Certain components require the addition of a specialized piece of software or driver to function. For commonly encountered components, the drivers are usually contained in the operating system itself, but for more specialized components, the driver must be added separately. Newer operating systems will usually prompt for the addition of any required drivers. Drivers continually updated to improve efficiency and functionality. The most current driver can be obtained from the manufacturer's website and should be normally used. Always read documentation that accompanies the driver software for potential problems and for proper installation procedures. Like for an example, when you're installing a printer as an example, or other like USB device, it usually tells you to plug the USB device in at a certain point in the installation. Components are designed to make use of specific sets of system resources. If two components try to use the same resource, one or both will fail. The solution is to change the resource used by one of the devices. Newer components and operating systems are able to dynamically assign system resources. If the device fails to function properly, verify that the correct and most recent driver is installed. Also check that the operating system has correctly detected and identified the device. If this device fails to correct the problem, power down the system, carefully reseat the component, and verify that the connections are correct. Check the component documentation for the correct settings. If the device continues to be non-functional, it is possible that component is defective and should be returned to the vendor. Peripheral devices, unlike internal components, do not require the computer case to be open for installation. Peripherals connect to an interface on the outside of the case with a wired or wireless link. Historically, peripherals were designed to be function when connected to a specific port. For example, personal computer printers were designed to connect to a parallel port, which transferred data from the computer to the printer through a specific format. More recently, the development of the universal serial bus interface has greatly simplified the connection of peripheral devices that use wires. USB devices require no complex configurations, and they merely be plugged into an appropriate interface, assuming the proper driver has been installed. There have also been increasing number of peripheral devices that connect to the host computer through wireless technology. The installation of a peripheral device requires several steps. The order of and detail of the steps varies depending on the type of physical connection and whether or not the peripheral is plug or play or PNP device. The steps include connect the peripheral to the host using the appropriate cable or wireless connection, connect the peripheral to a power source, install the appropriate driver. Some older devices, so-called legacy devices, are not plug and play. For these, driver installation occurs after the device has been connected to the printer and powered up. For plug and play or PNP enable USB devices, the driver is pre-installed on the system. In this case, the PNP or plug and play device is connected and powered on. The operating system recognizes the device and installs the appropriate driver. But in most cases, you still need the driver that came with the product. Installation of outdated or wrong drivers can cause a peripheral device to behave unpredictably. For this reason, it is necessary to use the most current drivers available. That concludes Discovery 1, Module 1. I'll just turn the recording off.